Well, we have now 68 registered and counting, and we are going to look forward to sharing our faith with the youngsters, that they may come to faith in the Lord early in life, and they will be able to grow further. So much to thank God for, so much to look forward to. Okay, well, let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Well, good morning to everyone. Welcome to Bethany. I've been up since 3 a.m. this morning, so my eyes are a bit blurry and a bit dry, and that's why I'm wearing my specs. Welcome to Bethany and to our morning worship service. We especially welcome all who are new in our midst. Please stay behind for a time of fellowship over lunch, where we can get to know you. Last Saturday, during our mid-autumn celebration in church, was a wonderful time of coming together, a time of worship, a time of eating, I think everybody enjoyed the roti brata, the biryani, the curry, and of course the tea to wash everything down. We were encouraged by Pastor from Psalm 65 with regards to the seven blessings that God will bless us with. How God answers prayers, God provides forgiveness, invites us to dwell in His house, does deeds of righteousness, He enriches, He establishes, and He crowns the year with goodness and abundance. And the psalmist's response was what he wrote at the beginning of the psalm: praise is awaiting you. You know, there was a sense of anticipation, commitment, excitement, as he sought to come to the Lord's house to praise Him. David wrote of how he vowed to praise God every time he came into the Lord's house. May we also seek to have a sense of anticipation and commitment and excitement as we seek to worship the Lord each Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank You for this day that we can come into Your house and worship You. We praise You for all the blessings that You have brought into our lives. May we make this commitment to always praise You with all our heart and with all our soul as we worship You each week. May You bless all that we seek to do for You today, and may we seek to draw nearer to You. May we glorify Your name, Lord, through this worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking about prayer at the morning worship. The challenge is to follow the Lord's example in how He prayed. Of course, making prayer as part of our lives is not an easy endeavor. What is it that causes me to pray each day? Romans 8 verse 15 speaks of how we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The context of Romans 8 is with reference to the work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will come into our lives when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are adopted by God to be His sons. And through the Spirit, we can cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is a term of endearment, a term of reverence. When we are truly children of God, we can relate to God with a close and deep relationship, as a son with his father. The Lord Jesus called God Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark 14, verse 36. My main reason of getting up every morning and to be with the Lord is that I want to spend time with my Heavenly Father. It's a time to meet with Him, a time to be still before Him, to sense His presence, to learn to be sensitive to Him. Prayer is my gateway to heaven, to the throne of grace, to connect with the one whom we call Father in heaven. Prayer is quality time with my loving Father in the morning. I see it as the main event of the day. And one of the things that I do as I begin my prayer is to give thanks to Him, to give praise to Him for all that He has blessed me with. Sometimes I would sing a hymn to Him. I would give thanks to Him for His grace and His mercy, that I'm still alive each morning, that I can breathe. You know, this morning, I give thanks to God for the devotions that Pastor have written. Today is the last devotion that Pastor wrote on the book of Ezekiel. 474 devotions, and today was the last one. And it's a real joy plowing through this book. And today, the last devotion was the most exciting one. The last 8 chapters is about the millennium kingdom, where the temple of God will be built and how we will worship the Lord in this new temple. And the city of Jerusalem will have a new name, not the city of David. And the new name is the Lord is there. And it was such an exciting thing to consider and to think. There comes a tremendous sense of hope, tremendous sense of looking forward to the future when the Lord Jesus establishes his kingdom on this earth. You know, we can find many reasons why we can give thanks to the Lord. Our first hymn is entitled, Now Thank We, All Our God. And we should give thanks with all our heart and voices for all the wondrous things that he has done for us. He has blessed us from birth and continue to bless us today. So let's begin our worship with thanksgiving to the Lord. Let's sing, Now Thank We, All Our God. Thank you for that fine singing. The next hymn that we are going to sing is Fill Me Now, HWC 261. Last week we learned about watching and praying, and this was something that the Lord did when he was about to face death. This was crisis praying. It was being candid with self. It's about dealing with our inner conflict. It is concurring with God's will and finding calmness and stillness in the Lord. The Lord's word to the disciples was to watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 41. The Lord Jesus knew how weak their flesh was. They were willing to watch and pray for a while with him, but soon the flesh took over, sleep overcame them. One of the reasons why we should watch and pray is because of the weakness of our flesh. We know how weak we are. weaknesses normally go with sin. You know, I'm determined to pray each day, to learn to watch and pray lest I fall. Each day, my prayer is to lead me not into temptation, but to deliver me from the evil one. You know, I realize through the years, as I grow older, and as I minister, how much I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to fill us through His Word, through prayer, through spiritual growth, and more. And the reason is because we should not trust in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own way of thinking and thoughts. We need the Spirit of God to lead, to enlighten us, to strengthen us, to fill us. Our second hymn is a prayer for the Spirit of God to fill us. In the third verse, it states, I am weakness, full of weakness. At thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed divine eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. I think we all recognize how weak we are, full of weakness. That is why we need to be filled with power from the Spirit of God to live our life. Let's make this our constant prayer as we rise to sing this hymn, Fill Me Now. Let us all rise. Thank you. Please be seated. Next, we have a song item by the One Voice Choir, and they're going to sing a song entitled, When We Pray. When we pray, according to His will and mercies, you know, God can do the impossible. God can move mountains. Well, may I present to you the One Voice Choir. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mitch, and thank you, One Voice Choir. That was a very beautiful item. Well, good morning, brethren. Once again, it is my privilege to be able to share a word with you today. Well, before we continue, let us have a word of prayer as we seek the Lord to ask for his enlightenment with regards to how we ought to understand his word a little bit better. Well, let's pray. Well, our Father in heaven, we are very grateful for the word that you have given to us, and we pray that this word will just encourage us to find a deeper prayer life in you. And Father, we just pray that even as we just now seek to read a bit of your word, we pray that this word will truly inspire us and encourage us as you have meant it to be. And we pray that this word will go forth and will bless hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it has been, this is October, so it has been almost more than a month since we had this entire series of prayer. And how has it been for you as you seek to understand this series of prayer? Are you still waking up early to pray? You know, are you able to live a deeper prayer life? Well, I hope, and I rejoice with you if you find, you know, a deeper sense of what it means to pray. But today, even as I begin to share this word with you, let me just first approach it from a little bit of a personal angle. And of course, in doing so, let me just speak honestly about how I am trying to understand this whole idea of prayer. And the first thing that I must say, in all honesty, is this, is that I find it very difficult to pray. I really do. Even if I pray and I set aside time for prayer, that's what we commonly say. The question then is, what do I pray about? You know, what do I pray about that goes beyond just the mundane things of life? God, bless this day. God, thank you for your protection. Thank you for your grace. What else? Is there something else about prayer that I can look forward to? And even when I try to commune with God, how can I do it in a way that I'm not distracted? How can I pray in such a way that I can remain focused upon the Lord and not let anything else come in? Now, that is my struggle. That is why I find it difficult to pray. But I'll tell you why I find it difficult to pray. I find it difficult to pray because I find it difficult to be still. You see, I like action. I like to move. I like to be in the thick of action. So even when I speak to the young people tell me, "Oh, Pastor Ben, you move a lot when you speak." So recently, this year's family camp, one of them tried to catch me on video. He said that it was the most exhausting thing he had to do. Because he had to move up, down, left, right, center. And at the end of it all, he came to me, "Pastor Ben, thank you." And it was, "Thank you for making me so tired." Well, and you see, this is, I find it difficult to be still. And I must move somehow. It didn't help that I became a father to two boys. And they are constantly active. Half the time I am thinking about them. Half the time I'm trying to ensure that they are safe. Half the time I'm trying to tell them, please stop jumping around. You know, but you see, these things, while they are considered valid, they're not entirely always valuable. And being still, going to God in prayer, that is valuable, and that is something I'm still continuing to seek. Well, Pastor puts it very nicely. He calls me kinetic. Oh, what that means. Of course, he's very nice about it, but I know what he means. He's saying that I have very little, or sometimes no stillness. And half the time I can be distracted. Possibly also even ill-disciplined. Now, what is my answer? How do I then find this stillness? Because very often he mentions this, that in order to truly sustain a life of ministry, it is critical to find that life of stillness and prayer. And that is actually my segue into what we're going to read today. Because as I study this text, as I study this whole passage beginning with Acts 1, I find it so relevant to me. In fact, I find it inspiring. Now, let me just go into the text and let me just show you how I'm beginning to understand this a little bit more. So, the verse that we're going to try to focus on today is this word here. Verse 14, chapter 1 in the book of Acts, verse 14. Let's take a look and let's read this for a bit. In verse 14, it reads, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Now, let's take a step back. And let's look at this verse in a different light. Because as we read it, it seems very normal. But you've got to understand that the book of Acts is what we call a historical account. And the person who wrote it, Luke, what we call the historian, made this note here. And we've got to take a step back and ask, why did he include this note here? Why did he include this observation about the apostles, about the people who were with him, or with them in that sense? Now, it is significant. So this line in itself is a significant mention. It's a significant observation of the history of the apostles. And why is it significant? Because this has never, ever happened before in the time and the life of the apostles. You see, this is a new change. Before this, the apostles had never truly been in one accord. Half the time, they were bickering, they were arguing, they were in strife. What else? They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The apostles were not known to be men of prayer. But here we read there is a change. There is a significant change. They are now people who would pray, who would supplicate. You see the difference here? What else? Now, with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, never before had they truly prayed together as a group, even with the woman folk. And finally, and with his brothers. Before this, the brothers of the Lord Jesus were known to reject him. But now the brothers of the Lord Jesus are there with the apostles to pray together with them. Now we read verse 14, and 14, it's a significant statement. A significant statement that highlights the change in the apostles. So that is what we're going to try to focus today. And the next part, as we look at this verse, the next thought or thoughts that will come to mind is, why this change? How did this change even happen at all in the first place? Now, one big clue is this part here, "these all continued." You see, how was it that the apostles were able to pray in such a way, to dedicate themselves to prayer and supplication in the manner in which we read? One big clue is this part, "these all," the word there is continued. And if we take a look at this word continued, it would mean that there must be a commencement. There must be a beginning somewhere. They cannot continue out of nowhere. Continued means that it has to start somewhere. Now, where is that start? And that start is actually found in the first few verses of Acts. So before we come to verse 14, we actually have to understand the first few verses of Acts 1. Now, how did they start? Where was this beginning in which they could continue from? It is found very much in the 40 days after the Lord's resurrection, before he was ascended, before his ascension to heaven. Now, verse 1, we read, quite clearly. See, the former account I made, O Theophilus, verse 1, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now, verse 2, what did the Lord do with them until the day in which he was taken up? After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to God. Now, what did he do in these 40 days with the disciples? Well, obviously, one part of it was to pray with them. This is how they began. He would obviously take time to teach them about different things. And in fact, it is written quite clearly for us. What did he do with them? One, he presented himself to them. Many infallible proofs of his resurrection. Then his teachings about the kingdom of God. Then, of course, his response to the promise, of course, the idea of the promise of the Holy Spirit. To tell them, this is the promise of the Father in verse 4, which you have heard from me. Now, what does this tell us about prayer then? Now, this actually gives us some insight to what prayer is all about. And the word which already mentioned, what prayer is essentially, first, it is a response. You see, all these things that were happening, the fact that they continued from something implies there is a response. The way they're able to continue tells us that they must be responding to something. That's why they're able to continue. And what were they responding to? It was said, they're responding to the presence of the Lord with them. They're responding to the proofs of his resurrection. They're responding to the teachings about the kingdom of God. They're responding to the promise of the Holy Spirit. The apostles, the people, the disciples, they were responding to the Lord. And this truly tells us what prayer is, essentially. One, it cannot be made in a vacuum. Prayer cannot be simply, okay, today I'm going to pray. But pray about what? We must respond to something. That is what prayer is about. There must be some substance in which we can respond to. Now, I understand, I'm just trying to imagine and put myself in the shoes of the disciples. And I can imagine this in a little way. So many people today, they use ChatGPT. So in fact, I tried ChatGPT for myself. Now, in case you're wondering, this outline did not come from ChatGPT. Okay? If it really is, then first I will get a stern warning from Pastor. And secondly, I might not be here on the pulpit anymore. But this is what I did. Let me just share with you. I drafted one of my outlines, my sermon outline, and I put it in the ChatGPT. I tried to do that. And do you know what the response was that? It even, because my name, they put, this is an excellent sermon outline, Benjamin. Oh, biblical, grounded, engaging. I was quite pleased with myself for a while. But until I took that outline, of course, and I met Pastor and worked with it, and he began to say, wait, there are weaknesses here. There are things that are not entirely right or good here. Now, you need to align this. Now, everything changed. And why am I saying this? Is that I can imagine what was it like when the Lord Jesus were with the disciples. His presence was with them. He taught them. He opened their eyes. He opened their understanding. And he just told them of the promise that would come to them. How would they feel? Obviously, they responded with prayer. You know, after that, the experience with Pastor, and how he helped me understand the word a lot more. You know, what was my response? I found myself responding in prayer. Thank God for this word. Now I can understand the Lord a lot more. I can understand what he is trying to say even more. I can understand what the Lord is saying when his plan of salvation is for an entire mankind. Now that moved me, and that moved me to pray. And sometimes that's what we need. We need this understanding we need to just find this sense of learning about the Lord so much more that we can respond in prayer towards Him. Now, we may not have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus with us today, but what do we have? We have His words. We have His love. We can respond to that. We may not have truly the Lord Jesus speaking to us, opening the Word to us, but we still have the Word of God given to us by the apostles and other writers of the Scriptures that are there. We can respond to that. We can also truly help us understand about the kingdom. And we can also respond to the stories of God's kingdom that has been written and recorded for us. And finally, we have the Holy Spirit who leads us, and we can respond to Him in prayer as He leads us in prayer. Now, prayer is essentially, first and foremost, a response. And perhaps you are struggling. You know, how can I pray? How can I deepen my prayer life with the Lord beyond just going beyond, okay, the simple things, the everyday things of life? I can pray because, and I can go deeper because I can learn how to respond to Him even more. So the first thought here is this idea of response. But we must move on. What else is prayer? Prayer is not just a response. It is also a realization. Now, let me just try to explain this a little bit more. See, the whole context of the book of Acts is this is a critical time of Christian history. Why? Because the apostles were given a mission that carried a weight like no other. They were entrusted to ensure that the work of the Lord will continue. They were responsible for spreading the gospel to the entire world. They were chosen to lead the first church. You see, their very actions would have repercussions on all of Christianity. You see, the first church would be the foundation and model that we would follow after thousands of years later. And this truly was a momentous time in Christian history. And so, you can imagine there were many things to accomplish. We read here, this was the charge and the commission given to them. In verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This was the responsibility, the heavy weight that laid upon the shoulders of the apostles. They were meant to be witnesses, and they were meant to be the people who ensured that the work of the Lord Jesus would not fail. And so you can imagine there were many things to accomplish. They would have to establish leadership. They would have to lay doctrinal foundations, train disciples, deal with opposition, and much more. But now, take a look at the order in which things were written and the order in which they did things, because that is important. You see, the realization of the apostles was this, that although there were many tasks awaiting them, the most important thing that they knew and that they realized that they had to do, first and foremost, was to pray. Was to enter into prayer and supplication, to seek the Lord, to make earnest requests to God. And this is what we call this idea of supplication. This idea of supplication is making requests to God. So they not only prayed, but they also supplicated. And all this was done to prepare for the magnitude of the work ahead. This was the realization that the apostles had. What else were they realizing? They realized also that although the Lord promised power of the Holy Spirit, in verse 8 we read, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Although the Lord did promise that, they would need to prepare themselves to receive that power from the Holy Spirit. They needed to prepare for the time when they would truly be imbued with the power to be that effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they needed to be watchful. They needed to be focused. They needed to be still. This was the realization of the apostles, and that's why we read so clearly. The moment they went to Jerusalem, they entered into the upper room and they went into prayer and supplication. Of course, the story was that when they saw the Lord Jesus ascending, they gazed into heaven. And angels had to appear to them to say, men of Judea, why are you still gazing into heaven? The Lord Jesus will come again as you see him being raised up like this. Basically, the angel was saying, get to work. And what was the idea of work for them? It was to pray. It was to enter into prayer and supplication. Well, today in Kenya, we have a church in Kenya called Bethany Victory. The pastor there is Pastor Benson. Well, today he is showing a video done by Pastor Charlie. And he's doing this because he realizes that he is limited, that he can't do it alone. He needs help in order to take his church forward. He is limited by himself. And for him, it has been a steep learning curve, very steep, to learn how to develop the church, to learn how to take care of things, to learn how to, and many things. I remember, and I think I mentioned this before, that some time ago, I told him, Benson, well, don't give up. Press on. And then his reply to me was, please, Pastor Ben, direct me where to press. So the learning curve is steep. And he recognizes that he is limited. And in order to move forward, he needed help. I know this is personally, as we work together with him, you know, it has also just convicted my own heart that in many ways I am limited too. I need to move forward. But how can I move forward? The only way to move forward is not by doing more things. It is not by, you know, just attempting and accomplishing, you know, a task list that is there. It is not to fill myself with more activity. The way to move forward is by prayer and supplication. It is, in fact, the whole entire church. How did the first church begin? It didn't begin with merely just action on the part of the apostles. It began with prayer and supplication. And that is a realization that we all need. One, that we can respond to God in prayer. Two, that it is a realization that we badly need prayer in our lives. And this has been such a personal challenge to my own heart. Well, as we move on now, at the end of it all, prayer is a response. Prayer is a realization. But prayer is also a readiness. Now, let's understand this. See, prayer enabled the apostles to finally be ready. See, when the day of Pentecost came, and this is in chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they were able to perform the miracle of speaking in different languages. Well, Peter was also stood up, and he was able to speak with conviction, depth, power. What was the result? People were cut to the heart, and they were saved. And we read this line in chapter 2, verse 42, chapter 2, verse 47, the closing line of this whole event. You see, so continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, verse 46, breaking bread, right? And verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, prayer enabled the apostles to become ready for the work that came. And as they were ready, they did the work well. Of course, with the power of the Holy Spirit that was there. And through it all, the Lord blessed. The church grew, people were saved, and people were added to the church. You know, as we just try to understand what it means to pray a little bit more, you know, there is so much that we need to do. And that's why this text has been so particularly encouraging and inspiring. Why? Because I realize that I don't have that stillness. I realize that I badly need to cultivate a life of prayer. But how can I cultivate this life of prayer? One, I can learn that prayer is not merely just my own thoughts or pray, we can pray in a vacuum. Prayer is a response to the Lord, to His word, to His love, to His presence in our lives. There is something to build upon in prayer. It is not something that is airy-fairy. It is something that is something substantial that we can work with. Prayer is that response. As we hear God speak to us, as we hear God move our hearts, we can respond to Him in prayer. But not only that, prayer is a realization that the most important thing that we need is not just more action. It's not just more things, more service, or even, you know, more, you can name it, the list goes on. We need prayer and supplication. That is what we need to realize. And through it all, as we respond, as we realize, we can be ready for God's work. And perhaps you also have many challenges ahead of you. Difficult challenges. Challenges that you find almost insurmountable. What is the encouragement to you? Pray. Respond to God. Realize how badly prayer, we all need prayer, and how prayer can be so wondrously powerful. And then you can find yourself being ready for the task ahead. Now, I'll share with you personally why this text means a lot more these days. Well, Pastor has always been sharing about his health problems. And he has a whole long list of health problems. And he tells them to the church as well. But what is he saying? And I think this is what he's saying to all of us, and particularly the pastors, is that he does not have much time. How do you respond to that? Well, first, my first response is, of course, there is some sadness. Why? Because we all love him for who he is. But even more so, there is a weight. A weight because we know that we, as the younger pastors, must ensure that the work will continue. We must ensure that this work, this legacy of Bethany that has been built over the years, will not fail. And this home that we have discovered for ourselves, this home will remain that home full of love, of comfort, of truth, and of light. How do we do that? How can we go about such an immense task? We need to pray, responding to God, realizing how important prayer is, and that it must be given first place above all else. And then we can be ready for this task. And so this is my prayer. This is my, you know, just my inspiration, even as I read this text. And, you know, wherever you may be a worker, a parent, a grandparent, a person who is suffering, well, may these words encourage your heart to cultivate that deeper prayer life as God meant us to have. May you be able to find that strength, that power, that bonus to rise above whatever challenges that might meet you along the way. And then you will be ready for the challenge ahead. Well, one hymn that as we want to close with is this hymn called Never Give Up. I chose this hymn because, you know, it is what it is. Don't give up. Never give up. Never be sad or desponding. And there may be challenges along the way, but how can we not give up? Now, I like what it says in verse 2 of this song. What if thy burdens oppress thee? What though thy life may be drear? Look on the side that is brightest, and the word is pray, and thy path will be clear. How can we move ahead? How can we move forward with our lives? We cannot but pray. And the word is never give up. You know, trust in the Lord, sing, and take heart. Well, let us take this hymn together. Let us rise and let us sing. Okay, let us sing this hymn together. just proclaim the benediction for all. Now may the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to God who knows our hearts, we pray that you will help us find this deeper prayer life in you. And may the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ inspire us to a closer walk with him. And finally, may the power of the Holy Spirit fill our lives to inspire us, empower us for the task ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have lunch downstairs. This is the time to be in one accord. Well, but more than just, of course, fellowshipping over lunch or partaking of the meal, you know, let's encourage each other with good words, words of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, let us truly learn what it means as a church to truly then be in one accord. Well, let's go to God in prayer and let's thank Him for the food downstairs. Our Father in heaven, we are so deeply grateful for the food that has been prepared for us. We pray we learn a little bit more of what it means to pray a little bit better to you. And we pray also that we are able to do so as a community, encouraging each other, inspiring one another to press on, to just go forward, not only just in service, but also in prayer and supplication. And we, Father, we pray that we'll just entrust once again our entire lives into your hands as we look forward to the new week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.